Luke chapter 19, and let's look at verse number 11. And as they heard these things, he added, that's Jesus, he added, and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want you reading ahead of me. Stop, stop. I can tell. You're wanting to get ahead. You want to know what happens here. But hang on there with me just for a moment. I want to kind of walk you through this story here just for a moment. Jesus is telling a parable. He's about ready to go up to Jerusalem, and he's about to go up to Jerusalem to die. Now, remember, he came to be the Messiah. He is the Messiah. The disciples followed him because he's the Messiah. They're excited about him setting up the kingdom of God on this earth, restoring Israel, their kingdom, and reigning and ruling in Jerusalem. Then he starts telling this story, this nobleman that goes into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, we're only one verse into this story, and I can just imagine what the disciples are thinking. Who are you talking about? Who's the nobleman? They've gotten used to him talking in parables, so they know he's telling a story that it's going to help us to learn a lesson. It's going to help us to learn something really important, so I better listen and I better learn. But who is the nobleman? We'll get to that here in just a little bit. This nobleman, he leaves where he's living. A nobleman is a ruler. It's somebody that is in charge of some things. He leaves. He goes to a far country, and the reason he's going to this far country is to receive for himself a kingdom. But that's not all. He's leaving. He's going to a far country to receive this kingdom. And then what does the Bible say? And then to, it starts with R, then to return. Okay? So he's leaving where he is. He's going to get something, a kingdom. And then he's going to be coming back. And we know Jesus is talking about himself. And just right out of the gate here, right as we start, Jesus left his disciples. He died. He rose again. He was taken up into heaven. We see that in the first chapter of Acts. And he left to go receive his kingdom. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And he said, I'm going there and I'm going to come back and receive you again, that where I may, you may be also. He left to receive his kingdom, but he will return. Now, that's not the purpose of this message tonight, but whenever you have that in view and you keep that in context and you realize no matter where, what part of my life I'm involved in, he will return. And if we keep that in view, he will return. It'll change the way we live. We need to live like Jesus is coming back. I love the songs, I'll Fly Away. I'm going to see him, talking about him returning. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, and talk about him coming back. So Jesus is talking about himself here. We realize that. So as we read through this passage this evening, realize he's telling a story. It's a parable, a pretend story, to help us understand something real that is going to happen. Jesus is this nobleman. He's leaving where he is. He's going to receive his kingdom, and then he's going to return. We need to live like Jesus is coming back. That'll change everything. If you live like Jesus is coming back. Now, y'all are looking at me like I just said something you never heard before. Listen, think about this. He's coming back. Now, hold on, so let's try that again. Now, I'm not going for a big amen, but I just want it to click in your brain here. Now, think about this for a minute. I know we had cake this afternoon. That means high sugar levels. And you may have gotten the nap, and you may not have gotten. I'm not sure kind of where you are. I rushed and got lunch, and I came back and preached for the Spanish service. My voice is just about gone. But I'm going to try to keep you awake this evening, because you got to get this. This truth is just, wow. It's one of those, all right? So, anyway, he's coming back. Now, think about this. He didn't just leave. He will be back. And when he comes, he's coming to receive us unto himself. All right, now, in verse 13, Luke 19, verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So we know right off the bat, he had 10 servants. He gave each of his servants 1 pound. Now, help me out with the math here tonight. He's got 10 servants. Each servant has 1 pound. So how many pounds did he give them? 10, right? He didn't give them each 10. He gave each of them one. And so now there's 10 servants. Are you still with me tonight? Okay, they each have 1 pound. And he says to them, occupy till I come. He told them to use that 1 pound to invest and make more pounds. I'm going to call that pound money, all right? English pound is the closest thing I think. Maybe it was a pound of sugar, a pound of flour. I'm going with money on this because this is what makes sense here. So he gives them each 1 pound and he says, occupy till I come. We're going to talk about what occupy doesn't mean here in just a moment. But what it means is this use of the word occupy means to follow business or to negotiate. It means to trade. I don't usually use the word occupy. Most of us don't usually use the word occupy to mean to trade or to do business, but that is exactly what he means. So he told them, use the 1 pound, invest it, and make more. Make more money in this case, because this is a parable, okay? Jesus really isn't all that concerned with us making a lot of money. He's okay if we do. He'll bless us if we use it for his work, but that's really not the whole idea here. We'll talk about some of the areas where we can be a steward. Now, he says to go to occupy. Now, the use of the word occupy in this case doesn't mean to take up space. Now, as Baptists, we're pretty good at this one. We can occupy. We can occupy our pew. We can occupy our Sunday school seat. That's not what he's talking about. It's not just taking up space. It's not just hunkering down in a bunker and waiting for Jesus to come back and take us out of this sinful world. Although some days that's just exactly what I feel like doing. Just leave everything, go live in a little cabin in the woods and just stay there and get away from everything. Did anybody else ever feel like that? Just the sinful world, all this junk, everything. It's not just dig in and entrench yourself and wait for the second coming of Christ. It's not just an occupy, take up space. It's an occupy, trade, do business, invest. It's not like, sorry, this room is occupied. It's not taking up space type of occupy. It's more like, go occupy yourself somewhere else. If you've got kids, you understand this. Go play in traffic. I heard that one when I was a kid. Thankfully, I never listened to that advice. Go take a walk, a long walk off a short pier. All right, go do something else. Go be busy. Get lost. Or maybe not that one. My mom was having a baby shower for the ladies when I was a kid, and me and my dad took the get lost, literally. We took his old truck and we went driving up on the West Mesa, went up to the sand dunes and everything. Remember that? And trying to drive back, we couldn't find the same road trying to get back. We got lost. It was a Sunday afternoon, trying to get back to church on time, just about didn't make it. Okay, so maybe it didn't mean get lost. It means go do something. Occupy, invest, occupy yourself. All right, so he gives each servant 1 pound. There's 10 servants. Each servant has, we'll say $1. That'd just be easier for us to think through that way. He gives each of them $1, and he says, invest that until I come back. I'm giving you $1. Do what you can with it. They didn't know how long he's going to be gone. They really didn't know how to invest it. He didn't give them all kinds of instructions. He said, here's the dollar. Invest it till I come back. Those are the instructions. Look at verse 14. Kind of a side note here. Not about the servants, but the citizens. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Just a side note, our world hates our Savior. The nobleman leaves and he goes and he gives instructions to his servants. In the meantime, the citizens of this place that belongs to him, they hate him. And they send a message even, we will not have you to reign over us. When you get back, we're not listening to you. We're not going to obey you. The world hates our Savior. He created the human race, but the human race turned against him. Now that's where we live. Can't change it. That's just the way it is. And amidst this world that hates our Savior, we have been given this command to occupy, not just to hunker down and stay here, but to invest, to trade, to do something worthwhile with the dollar he gave us. All right? So moving right along. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, when Jesus comes back, you've got to remember this. He's not going to be the suffering servant. He's not coming the same way that he came the first time. The first time, he was the lowly baby in the manger. The second time, he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time, he came to die as the servant. The second time, he's coming back to rule and to reign. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord when he comes back. And he commands his servants and he says he wants to know, how did you do with the $1 I gave you? How'd you do with the £1, the one unit of money I gave you? How did you do? Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now, I don't know how long he was gone, but to invest a dollar and then come back later and that dollar turns into $10, that's a really good return on investment. If you gave me that option and you could guarantee that every dollar I invested in a company would come back $10 later, I'd invest in that. That's a really, really good investment. So the servant comes back and he says, here's the dollar you gave me and here's 9 more. You gave me £1 and here's 10. He was a good steward of that £1. Now, I need my two volunteers to come out because I want to help you to see something. I'm hoping that this will make it just really real for you. If I can do this, let's try. Let me slide this over here. And we're all going to just have some fun tonight. All right. I've got some things that you two can use to sell. All right. You're going to sell it to whoever you want to sell it. Ice cold water right out of the refrigerator. We've got some t-shirts. Just got them in this week. All right. We can sell those. And let's see here. I've got some cups here. I'm not going to get them all out, but there's a few of them there. And let's see here. I think we've got some pens in here. And I know we gave these out today, but this will help to illustrate our point. Now, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give each of you $1. And there's your dollar. And then there's your dollar. Your challenge is this. You take that dollar, and you try to trade that dollar along with one of these items to somebody here for $2. Then you take that $2 and you trade it with somebody to see if you can get $3, all right? You can either try to use one of these things or just ask them. You want to trade $2 for $3. Somebody may do that. I mean, they may want to help you out, right? So the first one of you to reach $10 is the winner, and you get to keep that $10. You got that? Do you all understand what we're doing here? Can you help me with this illustration, please? I hope you have a dollar or two. You better ask me first. I probably got two. No, don't ask me. And we don't take credit cards. You know, it's strictly cash. So now, help me out. This doesn't go to the church. You don't even have to participate in this, but it's going to kind of help with this illustration, okay? So the idea here is if one of them is, they have $5, they're going to be asking for $6, but you're going to get $5 plus something else back. You got that? You kind of see what's going on here? Are y'all ready? Do you understand? Maybe we need two more volunteers. You got it? Okay, I'll kind of help you with this. You're going to take that dollar, and you're going to take one of these items here. I'd save that one for one of the more expensive things. So take this, take something here, and ask somebody. Just go out and ask somebody, would anybody like to trade a dollar and a water bottle for $2? You know, that type of a thing, okay? And get $2, then try to go get $3. Okay, are you ready? Jose's going for the shirt right away. On your marks. Get set. You can get whatever you want to do. Anything here, except what's in the box. Anything here is available. Yeah, you better hurry. He's getting out there. Ready, set, go. Okay. Now, you're going to have to get somebody's attention and ask them, the first one to $10 wins. All right, there you go. We're doing business. We're going to be turning over tables here in a little bit. This is not money changing, okay? This is an illustration. All right? Go with me on this. Now you're going to notice. Just watch. Just watch here. Come on, you better do it faster. Jose, how many dollars you got there? You got $2. All right. Julia, how many dollars you have? Three. Okay, she's ahead of you. So everybody want to trade $3 for $4? $3 for $4. And there you go. You can go to any side you want to go to. He's going. They're like, come on, can you get a different size shirt for me? This one doesn't fit. This is a great deal. It doesn't matter if the shirt fits, right? All right, you got to do it faster. We don't have a whole lot of time. We gotta move here. Okay, Julia, how much do you have there? All right. Did you get ripped off, Roberta? She got ripped off. Okay. All right. So how you doing, Jose? Okay. You got $7. All right. How much? How are we doing here? All right. So we'll get it. All right. So how you doing, Julia? You have $6. Okay. You better hurry. Better hurry. We're doing good. Okay. All right. How you doing? How you doing? You got $8. Okay. Did you give him the $7? Yeah. You should give him $7. He should give you $1. Wait a minute. No. Keep the money. I'm sorry. You're good. You're good. You're good. I got you. All right. How you doing? We got a couple cups. We got a couple pins left. You may just have to get some charity here in a minute. We're trying to turn this $1 into $10. That's what we're trying to do. All right? We're going to have a church split on our 13th anniversary. I can just see it. I can see it happening. How are we doing, Julia? All right? You getting close? You got to stop at 10, okay? We're not going to let you get any more than that. This could become a racket, and we don't want that. Are you a 10? Are you a 10, Jose? You better count. You have to give all these good people their money back. Okay. All right. You're 10. Well, let's see what Julia ends up with. We have to stop now. All right. Bring it up. Bring it up. She doesn't know when to stop. Okay. So you have $10. All right. How much do you have? We'll count. Well, put it down and count your money. The next lesson will be on diligence, you know, knowing the state of your flocks, that type of thing. All right, how we doing? All right, oh, and change. Oh, my word. Okay, there's a dollar. $14.75. Jose, she beat you, but you do get to keep the $10. You do get to keep that $14.75, okay? Go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to be referring to y'all just in a little bit here. All right, did you see what happened? They took a dollar. You're like, no, I have no clue what just happened. They took a dollar, and they traded with that dollar. And that dollar turned into $2 and $3, and I think Julia skipped a few, maybe. Turns into $14.75. Turns into $10 for Jose. Thank you all for helping with that illustration. Now, this is very similar to what he said to do. He said, I'm giving you $1. I'm giving you £1. And I want you to take that, and I want you to occupy. That doesn't mean take it and just, if either one of them would have taken that $1 and said, awesome, $1. This is more than I came to church with. And put it in their pocket and left thinking, I can get, I don't know, what do you buy with $1? Can you get one of those chips that melt your tongue with the red stuff? What are those called? Takis, yeah. You can get one of those on the way home. You know, but if they would have taken that dollar and just put it away and hid it, they wouldn't have been able to get any more. Now, in this case, the nobleman said, I want you to take it, and when I come back, I want you to tell me what you've gotten. I believe they were responsible to him. I believe they, you know, this. I should have thought through this illustration a little bit better. They gave it to him, right? No, keep it. But they would have taken that and given it to that nobleman. Okay, so you understand the idea here. You understand they started out with a dollar, and they worked. They put effort into it. They invested. They were good stewards with that $1, and they were able to increase that dollar. Are you with me on this? Okay, so go back to Luke chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 15, it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Verse 17, and he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Whoa! So he gave them a dollar. They took that dollar and invested it, or pound, whatever pound is. And they brought that pound back. And this one said, Lord, I took that 1 pound and I worked at it. I was a good steward. I invested, I did what you said, I traded it, I occupied, and now I've got 10 pounds to give you back. And he said, that is exactly what I was hoping for, and he traded him. He said, for every one of those pounds you are giving me, I'm going to give you a city. Whoa! A city for a dollar! Well, he just got this kingdom, the nobleman comes back, he said, I've just been given this kingdom, I need somebody to oversee the cities in my kingdom. And because I can see that you are a good steward, I am going to trust you one city for every pound or every dollar that you gained because you were a good steward. This is incredible. Each pound that he earned was worth a city in the new kingdom. Each pound meant a whole lot to the nobleman. Okay, look at verse 18. And the second came, Jose comes, and said, the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now here's a great lesson here. We don't all have the same ability, but we all have the same calling. We're supposed to be stewards. We may not all have the same contacts. Julia fleeced this side of the auditorium. Jose went to that side of the auditorium. Okay, we may not have the same people in our circles of influence. We may not have the same communities. We may not have the same talents. We may not have the same personalities, but we all have the same calling, and we're supposed to be stewards. Some of us will multiply our resources 10 times. Some of us will be able to multiply our resources 5 times. But none of us should be content with not multiplying our resources at all. You've got to understand that. You may not be a 10-pound person or a 5-pound person. That's just kind of funny right there. You picked a little 10-pound person here, all right? Too much cake today, maybe? You may not have the talent. You may not have the personality that somebody else has. You may look at that and say, Lord, how can you expect me to do the same thing that person has? That person has these talents and these abilities, this infectious personality that everybody just likes being around. How can I ever compare with that? You don't have to, but you do have the same calling. And that calling, we'll get to here in just a moment. Chapter 19, verse 20 now, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I can just picture him taking maybe like a silver dollar or whatever coin it was and wrapping it carefully in his handkerchief or his napkin. And maybe, where do we hide money, right? The classic hiding place, under the bed. Right? Or wrapping it in something and burying it out back. You know, one of the other stories of this parable, he dug and buried it in the ground. And taking this one talent, or this 1 pound in this case, and wrapping it up in a napkin, just kind of hiding it. We'll see the reason for it in just a moment. Look at verse number 21. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherein then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? So at least you could have put it in the bank and I'd have gained interest on it. I'd have got something on it, maybe not 10, maybe not 5, but I'd have got something on that. Even if we can't do much, we must all do something with what God has given us. Now, the wicked servant, that's what the nobleman called him, the wicked servant may not have been able to multiply his pound by 10 or even by 5, but he could have taken it to the bank and at least earned interest on it. Now, you know this as well as I do. If you take a dollar to the bank right now, you're not going to earn very much interest on it. It's really, really low interest rate, but you'll get something. At least you'll go in the right direction. You'll have invested in it and gained something from that. And the nobleman looks at him, he says, I gave you something, I trusted you with something, and I wanted you to be a good steward. I told you to invest it. And he invested that a lot like a lot of us Christians are investing our lives. We're occupying the wrong way. We're doing I just picture the hunker down. This is my hunker down pose right here. That's what I'm picturing, hunkering down and waiting for the rapture to happen, waiting for him to come back and say, okay, I survived, right? Well, I made it all the way till the end here. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I want you to take it. I want you to invest it. Look at verse 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said the same thing that you're thinking probably right now. Lord, he hath 10 pounds. He's already got 10. He doesn't need another one. You know, this wealth redistribution stuff. Well, Lord, what are you doing? You're taking it away from the poor and giving it to the guy that had it all. I want you to think about this for a moment. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Like, basically, he's already got enough. But look what the nobleman says. For I say unto you, this is actually Jesus speaking, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from the him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't work with our economic thinking, the way that we've been taught. You're not supposed to give to people that have more and take from the people that have less. You're supposed to take from the people that don't have anything. I mean, take from the people that have a lot, right? And give to the poor. That's what Robin Hood did. Robin Hood was a thief. But the Bible says, and Jesus said, look, I trusted this man, and I gave him this pound, and he was supposed to invest that pound. He didn't do it, so I'm going to take it from him, and I'm going to give it to the guy that I can trust with it. Okay, move on here just a little bit. Isn't it interesting that the people with the most to do are the ones who are usually asked to do more? Has anybody else noticed that? It's the truth. If you want to get something done, ask a busy person. Unless you don't want to get, if you're trying to help somebody to get involved, I found that giving a project to somebody to do just to get them involved because they're not doing anything, the projects don't get done. You ask somebody who's a good steward to get a project done, and they'll be the ones to get it done. I tried to help a man get a job once. I was writing on a Greyhound bus from Albuquerque to Carlsbad. You ever ridden on a Greyhound bus? You can meet some interesting people on a Greyhound bus. I met the woman that was on the bus, and I met this guy's mom, and just a string of events. And he ended up contacting me, and he asked me for money. He told me about all his needs, and I don't remember all the details of it, but I told him, I said, I don't have money to give you, but actually, I did. I gave him some. It wasn't a lot. And I said, I'll pick you up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and I'll go help you find a job, right? Give a man a fish. He'll feed him for a day. Teach him to fish. He'll feed him for a lifetime. You know, that kind of an idea here. So I went to his house the next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, knocked on his door. He agreed to it. He was great with it. Yeah, great. I'll find a job. Knocked on his door. There's no answer. So I knocked on his door again. He opens the door, and I woke him up. And he's mad at me for waking him up. He told me to leave, and he really wasn't that interested in a job anyway. You know, if you want to get something done, you give it to the person who's busy. If you want to invest in somebody, you want to, in this case, you say, I've got something worthwhile. I want to give it to somebody that's going to do something worthwhile with it. Who am I going to give it to? You're going to give it to the man who's already taken the 1 pound and invested and worked and took that to 10 pounds. Now this man has 11 pounds, $11. You know, there's many areas of stewardship. There's money. That's usually the one that we talk about. There's time. There's talent. Some people say treasure, time, talents. I'm okay with that. And in each of these areas, God expects us to multiply what he's given us. But this sermon tonight is not about any of those. This message tonight is about people. It's about being a steward of people. You know, God's going to bring someone into your life. And that person is your 1 pound. So the question is this: what are you going to do with the one person that God has placed on your heart to reach for Him? See, we're not talking about money anymore. One of the greatest things God can trust you with to be a steward is a human soul. God brings that person into your circle of influence. He brings that person into your life, and He says, I'm giving you one. What are you going to do with that one? Well, follow through here just a little bit. I got some thoughts I'd like to ask you about. What are you going to do with that one person God's placed on your heart? You can reach him or you can ignore him. You can share the gospel with him. You can pray for him. You can call him. You can contact him. Or you can hide him from your conscience and lose him. Now, this just got a whole lot more serious than money, didn't it? It's a whole lot more serious than what I do with my talents. Now we're talking about the eternity of a human soul. They will live somewhere, heaven or hell, forever. And if you try to comprehend forever, it's going to just confuse your brain. And when you think about that person could be forever in heaven or forever in hell, this ought to bother us. This ought to be one of those things where we say, God, if you're going to trust me with that one person, put that one person on my heart, I will do everything I can to reach that one person so that one person doesn't die and go to hell. That one person can go to heaven. Just one. I want to reach that one person. And the nobleman comes to us and says, you're my servant. I'm giving you one person. And I want you to reach that one person. I realize we can't all reach the same number of people. God's given some of you the amazing personality trait of not knowing what a stranger is. You're kind of like kids that grow up in church. It's like, whoa, everybody's friendly. You got to be careful with kids like that because you take them to a public place and they think they're a church and everybody's just part of the family, right? And some of you have that personality. You don't know a stranger. You talk to people that you've never seen before about stuff that I wouldn't talk to my family about, probably. That's just your personality. And you're good with people. Others of us, we are scared to death to talk with people. Some of you, the girl in, it was the Tucson Mall. And I don't remember which one of our kids it was. We're playing in the mall and the little playground. You know, the playgrounds in malls, sometimes everything's padded. Was that you, Julia? Was that? And she's like, I don't know what story you're telling. The slides are padded, the playground's padded, everything's padded, it's a safe place, the walls around everywhere, so, the kids are safe there. And one of the kids comes running back, Mommy, she shared. And Jen's like, well, who shared what? She looked out in the middle of the little mall playground, there's a little girl with a sucker, and she's taking a lick and sharing it, and taking a lick and sharing it, and taking a lick and sharing it. You know, some of you, that's just, you're good with people, right? And you can attract a crowd. That's not me. God's given us, some of us, a personality that fights and screams against meeting new people. That's where I'm at. Some of you are like that as well. Like, I'd rather be, if I had the choice, give me an old cabin somewhere deep in the woods where I never have to talk to anybody else the rest of my life and I'll be happy. Some of you, that'd drive you nuts. Me, I would be fine there. And probably some of the rest of you as well. We're not all probably going to reach the same number of people. But just like most things in life, if you work at reaching people, you will get better at it. So you can either be a good steward or a bad steward of the people God brings into your life. So now you see kind of why I did the funny part at the beginning, okay? You're either a good steward or you're a bad steward. Every one of us. The bad steward was called the wicked servant. If you choose to be a bad steward, you're just like the wicked servant. Let me say it this way. If I choose to be a bad steward, I am just like the wicked servant. It doesn't matter who we are, but I've got this choice. And the nobleman comes to me, God comes to me, and he says, I've got somebody I want you to reach. He puts them on my heart. He brings them into my circle of influence, and he says, I am trusting you with one. I've got a choice. Am I going to take that one and wrap him up and hide him from my conscience? Or am I going to do everything I can to reach that one? Occupy till he comes. Invest. Reach that one and then see what happens beyond that. Don't make God remove that one person from your influence that he has trusted you with and give them to someone else. Can you imagine? And we're almost done. Can you imagine being part of reaching someone with the life-changing, soul-saving message of eternal life? This is awesome. Telling somebody how to be saved. I mean, teaching them. We taught this in Sunday school this morning. How to reach somebody with the gospel is just, it's teaching. It's teaching them. Teach them how that they're a sinner. Teach them that the punishment for sin is to die. Teach them that they're going to stand before God and he's going to be their judge. Teach them that the punishment for sin is to go to hell. Teach them that Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for their sin, and teach them that they've got to accept God's free gift of eternal life to be saved. That is the gospel. You can do that. And here's the amazing thing. When you share that with somebody and the Word of God convicts, the Spirit of God convicts that person's heart, and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, here's what happened. A person who just a moment ago was on their way to hell. But because you allowed yourself to be a good steward, now they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And no matter what happens, they will spend eternity in heaven with God because you decided to be a good steward. This is amazing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a part of reaching someone? No matter who it is, someone with a life-changing gospel. Now, I know most of us, we think, well, I want to be the one that reaches the next D.L. Moody, the next, you know, R.A. Torrey, the next Billy Sunday. Wouldn't that be awesome? You don't know who they are. You may reach someone who reaches thousands. You may reach someone, and that's the only person that's ever reached because of that, but that person was reached. Can you imagine doing that? Changing somebody. Yeah, I don't change their life. God changes their life, but can you imagine somebody's life being changed because you decided to be a good steward? Wow! How about 10? Okay, that's what our story's about. He said, here's your £1, and he goes to work, and he starts investing in this case, that one person. And he reaches that person. And he reaches another person. And he reaches another person. You know, the people that you reach, they all know somebody. You reach one person, they're going to know more people. And you start reaching people, reaching people, reaching people. And you realize, well, I just reached 10 people. There's 10 people. What about 100 people? Now you say, oh, Pastor, you just went way beyond my capability. You're way past where I could ever get. No, I'm not. You can do this. Occupy till I come. What an amazing thought that God would allow us and God wants to use you to reach the people around you with the gospel. The question is this, are you willing to be used? Are you going to be a faithful servant or are you going to be a wicked servant? That's the only two choices. That's it. Take a look at that card that I gave you. Our end of our service is going to be totally different. We'll have an invitation in just a moment. But let me explain this card. This is a personal stewardship list. And I'm going to challenge you to fill this list up to 10 people. Somebody that God puts on your heart. Somebody that maybe as you go out soul winning on Saturday or on Tuesday, you meet somebody and maybe they don't get saved, but they're open to talking. They seem like somebody that might be, maybe God's putting them on your heart to reach. Our staff is going to do this. I'm challenged. We've got a church follow-up program, but here's what I want. I want every person that is willing in our church. Now, if you don't use this card, you're not a wicked servant. You do however you want to do. That's fine. But if you would like this tool, I'm excited about it. So write that person's name on there. And here's what we're going to do for that person. I'm going to challenge you to pray for that person every day. For whatever, if their need is salvation, pray for their salvation. If they've been saved, but they need to get involved in a church, we're all supposed to be in a church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If they need to get involved in a church, pray for that. Maybe they need to get baptized. Whatever that next need is for that person to get them into the family of God by getting saved or into the church where they're going to grow. One of those two things. And I want to challenge, maybe put one person on there to start with and begin praying. God, who would you have me to steward? Who do you want me to steward? And once a week, contact them. So we're praying for them every day. And we're going to contact them once a week. We're either going to call them, send them a text, something simple. Hey, I'm praying for you. How you doing? You need anything? Call them, text them, send them a card. Go by and visit them. There's a little code at the bottom there for just to help you kind of make a little note there, whether you phone called them, sent them a card or a note, or made a personal visit. Here's what I want you to imagine with me. Can you imagine if 50 people in our church were each praying every day for 10 people on our list for their salvation? Do you realize what that is? That's 500 people every day that somebody's praying that they get saved. Once a week, we're contacting them. We're going to see something happen. What is it? It's occupying. That's all it is. It's occupying. It's not just saying, okay, Lord, I'm here waiting for you to come. I'm just going to survive. No, it's saying, Lord, I'll take that person that you've put on my heart and I will invest. I'll invest in them. I'll pray for them. I'll call them. I'll visit them. I'll send them a text or a card. I'll send them a postcard. But whatever I do, I'm gonna steward. I'm going to be a good steward of that person that you've given me. If you choose to use this, great. This is one of the handouts for the year. This is one of our new tools that we want to use. I want to introduce it in a way that you realize I could do this. And God could use me. God could use me in a great way to see somebody's life change. Father, I pray that you would use this message tonight to speak to our hearts. Lord, you didn't put my personal stewardship list in the Bible. I know this is just something extra that we came up with. But the concept, the idea of being a good steward of that one person that you give us, one at a time, reaching them with the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart to reach the lost world around us with the gospel. And I pray that you not just give us a desire, but you would help us to put some feet to that desire and occupy, invest, trade, do the work we need to do to reach people for you. Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would change our heart in this matter, that we wouldn't be so inwardly focused on our own selves, but as we go about our days, we would see the people around us that you love, that you want to save. Lord, I pray that you just change our hearts.